is not...
Don't touch anything.
It's the greatest find yet. Nothing compares to it.
But it's definitely something you should hear.
This is The Real Deal with Larry Lawton.
Welcome to The Real Deal with me, Larry Lawton. We have a great show today. I say that and I mean it because we have my nephew and partner in crime, Paulie. And we have somebody in the studio. We won't mention who, but he's a regular guest here. And we got Nick on the thing. And I want to thank Oliva Cigars right here. And they make the great Crooked Diamond Cigars. These are starter packs. We have packs coming out. The book, Gangster Redemption, going. And good news there, there's a second book coming out. It's the Gangster Redemption Aftermath. What happens the 10 years after Larry? That book goes up to 2012. So from 2013 to 2023 is a book of me going on, becoming an honorary police officer, Congress, YouTube, the program, all the stuff I've done since then. So the cigar, everything I'm doing, good, bad, and ugly.
That's a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. I did, you know.
If you think about it, that's a whole different lifestyle from the prior to the now, you know?
Yeah. But yes, 100%, Paul, you know. You don't have to.
Yeah, you can lean back.
Okay. But, you know, it's, you know, sometimes I have to, you know, like slow down and like grab the grasp of what we're doing. Because I don't. I just keep going. I don't give a shit. I had a great time. I'm here because of my mom. So I got people coming to the studios.
Coming out with a new book and I'm going to run a bar and
no, not running a bar. We got a new guy. You guys will see him on the show. He's coming in a few weeks. He's so up north. He owns A1A cigar and smoke and vape shop.
Nice.
And yeah, and we got a
B-side. You're moving everywhere.
And we got something else going on. You guys, I don't even know. Maybe more. We might be in the probably will be. This is almost definite. Is we're going to be in the seltzer business. Oh, like, nice. You know, the Happy Dad, on if you see them on... I'm not in the
your
business.
Cookbook hasn't even came out yet.
Oh, I'm busy. Nick yelled at me, but he's not on the mic right now. He just moved. He's running around yelling at me. I'm going to hear it later. We said we wouldn't tell anybody. He's right. But I got a big mouth. Not for snitching, but for good shit. But anyway, we got some people in the room. We're going to have a good time. Paul and I are going to talk about a few things. I love when Paul comes into the office because we catch up. And obviously, Paul is up to date on more than I am as far as like the news. And I'm going to ask Paul, Jump Street, what do you think of Tyson fighting this kid on the internet, Jake Paul?
Well, there's a lot of rumors about a lot of rules. And some of these rules, you got to think, it's probably going to be a bogus rigged fight. Is this an exhibition or is this a true fight? Right?
I thought about that when you said that, when I was looking through stuff. You know, they had the exhibition of Tyson and Roy Jones. I don't think they went at it like with the fury that they want to hurt each other.
Of course not. They're not fighting for anything but money.
But right? It's not a bad thing. They say he's going to make 20 million.
It's a friendly fight. You know, it's a friendly fight.
At that 20 point, million? I'd be in that ring so quick your head would spin.
But you got to think about the age of Tyson and doing that. And there's always a risk you really get knocked the heck out.
No, I mean, if it's a real fight. You know what I was going to say? You guys, Mark will know because my buddy Mark is in the studio and him and I are the same age, right? So I agree. When you're in your 50s, your strength is just, I didn't miss a beat. I'm still strong, but now I'm seeing a little bit difference when I hit 60 and down, you know, where, you know, really with the actual strength. Don't get me wrong, I was always strong, but I mean, at 50, forget about it. Yeah, I got out of prison at 48. You're 46, forget it. But reaction time, speed. I know I don't have that anymore.
And Mike Tyson's got a different mindset now. If you listen to his interviews, it's totally different when he was younger.
You know, he even admitted that he doesn't have that beast in him. But then again, he says he does have a switch that he could. I don't know. You know, survival is something. When you're working, whatever.
Fighter's a fighter.
A fighter's a fighter. But, you know, when you get down to it, it's the heart that wins when you get to. Let's say you get two great fighters. Whoever at that moment has the most drive, the heart to keep going, they all could take a shot. They all could hit. They go, obviously, some harder, some less, some talent levels. Of course, you know, boxing is really a skill, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a technique. There's a lot of technique. There's where I think this kid, Jake Paul. Jake Paul has fought, I think, 8 fights. Only one of a ranked or anybody important, and the guy beat him. So has he, you know, obviously he's a great marketer. The kid's in shape. I believe he could be the real deal. His brother, Logan, no. I told you I'd take that on. Even though I might lose, I'd take it on. Give me one shot at hitting him. That's all I want. One shot. But do I think somebody like, what's his name, Tyson can, listen, we all know anybody, wind. It's all about wind.
Of course.
You know, you're a pretty good athlete, and you're 40, how old, Paul?
44.
Do you feel yourself different from when you're 20? You went to the military, you were accepted to the military academy.
I mean,
you know?
I'm in some of the best shape I've been in my life.
Now?
Yeah.
Do you think you're in better shape than when you were 25?
I'd say I'm, for my age, yes, for 100%.
No, I didn't say for your age.
I was in great shape back then.
That's then you're not.
Right? But so. It's a lot harder now to get in that type of shape. You have to work harder. Your recovery time's a lot different. I mean, so the way Tyson's going to have to train and build up, and I mean, he's got muscle memory, obviously, in his body for what he's done.
I have that. Right? Yeah, everybody has that.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a big difference. I mean, Tyson, obviously, is one of the best of all time.
Yeah.
One of the best of all time. He's proven it. There's nothing he needs to prove. So this fight, you got to think it's either for the money or he just wants to shut this guy up. Why else is he doing it?
Yeah, well, you know, when you think of 20, like, okay, there's massive amounts of money, and that's just, I'll bet he's going to make a lot more. Mayweather made $280 million for one fight. And Conor McGregor, a nobody in the UFC, I mean, he's a UFC fighter, everybody knew that.
Well, he's not
made
nobody.
$100 million.
He's a well-known fighter.
Yeah,
he's very
in MMA,
good at what he does.
But there's people who don't know what MMA is.
It's a totally different type of fight. Boxing is totally different than MMA.
100%. And everybody knows, and they say that every expert, Mayweather could have knocked him out anytime he wanted in the first round. That's how good he is. And he got paid if it went so many rounds. They actually had rounds. Like, he got paid more if it went 3 rounds, got paid more if it went 5 rounds.
That's why I heard this one's going to be similar. So if it is that way, I mean, Tyson knocks him out in the first round, he's not going to make as much. So if there's... They're trying to drag
but
it on.
I don't know. I mean, you know, listen, if Tyson knocked him out in the first round, it would be just more to his legacy. He knocked the 27-year-old kid, a 28-year-old kid.
Having headgear was another thing, that some sort of thing that was out there. That
I don't even wear a helmet.
Why would they wear headgear? Make it a real fight. If it's a real fight, they're out there and you're fighting like any other fight, professional fight. Why would you have that?
The reason Tyson never did good after he lost to Holyfield ever again, obviously he had the talent, but he did not have that heart. He didn't have that lion that he wants to destroy and literally I want to eat your liver and shit. I mean, he was crazy. He really, you know, you see some of his press conferences. I love Tyson. Again, Tyson, like you said, is probably one of the best, youngest heavyweight champ ever. Obviously, his record and his knockouts are, obviously, the bigger hitter is George Foreman. I mean, that's known, and there were a lot of big hitters.
And he fought late in his career.
George Foreman, but he's a different animal. George Foreman didn't go to 60. And also, George Foreman is a lot bigger. He was 280 pounds. Tyson looks in shape, but is his wind in shape? You know, let me ask you. I was a guy that got out of prison in one of my best shapes at 46. You've seen the pictures of me. I should have Nick put one up. I really had a V. I could do 1,000 push-ups in an hour. I was just like a massive shape guy.
But well, you had the time to do it. And
don't have to now. Listen, I like to live life. You know, I like that food I eat. You know, I ended up, I don't know why, spending $260-something on Japanese food yesterday. And trust me, it's not worth $260. $160
doesn't fill you up, does it?
It was okay, but you know, the ladies, it's something up with Asians where they're like attacking people, like. We're not Chinese. How am I supposed to know you're not Chinese or Asian or Korean?
It's hard. I mean, unless you live in that lifestyle and you understand, you know, the different
countries. Mannerisms or stuff like that. I mean, it's kind of weird. Even when they speak, I wouldn't know, you know, one
you
language.
You know they're Asian. That's what you
Asian. Know. You know, Nick said, what do you think? Was it a Chinese restaurant? Well, do you have dog and cat? Maybe you are. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. Maybe I don't know.
Well, think about it. You know the difference between someone from Texas or someone from
New York,
Canada.
Brooklyn.
You know, yeah, there's a difference in their dialect and That's how we grew up.
Back on the fight. So why do you think Jake Paul is doing it? Just for the notoriety. He's going to look like, you know what they're saying. He's going to be a villain no matter what. Think of this. If he knocks Tyson out, you took advantage of a 60-year-old man, you know, to get you to step up. You lost to a Tommy Fury, and now you went to beat up an old man. If he gets knocked out, and you get knocked out by a 60-year-old man, he's going to be 58, I think. You're going to be knocked out by a 60-year-old man, so you can't fight. What, besides money, I mean, and money's a lot, and money's a big driver.
Well, notoriety. Think about it. I mean, you're getting, there's obviously a market for this fight. Because the way that they're marketing it now, there's a lot of people interested.
In Dallas Stadium.
Exactly. So he obviously is going to get a lot of notoriety. And why not? That's a great platform to get out there. And pretty soon, more people will come.
But maybe you say notoriety, he's going to look bad no matter what as far as to the people. I think this is part of it. There's a lot of people who know who Mike Tyson is more than they know Jake Paul.
Yeah. Well, people might think, Tyson's one of the best fighters he's fought. Maybe they think this is a real fighter. Or he's actually trying to fight someone who has a history. But the problem is the guy's, 57 years old?
Yeah, he'll be 50, I think 58 when
so,
he fights.
He knocked out Sylvia.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, just so. For your information.
Well, so, listen.
Jake Paul knocked out Angela
Sylvia.
Silva?
Black
guy? Silva. Yeah, but who is Silva? I don't know.
I mean, he's a legit boxer, but there's so many other boxers you could fight. So why Mike Tyson?
Well,
I think that's why you're
here for a second. And I'm here. What I think, Paul, is what when I look at a fight like this is to be a legitimate contender in any fight. I think you should have to go up the ranks. So if you go, you've got to build up your record somehow. So you fight your bums. After that, you got to get to a point where you fight a top 10 contender, and then maybe you fight number 5, 7, you beat him. Then you got to fight the next. They should have, to fight for the title, you should have to be number 2 waiting to fight for the title, not just somebody who's famous and comes in and fights for the title. I don't know if that is a rule or not, but, and I know this is not about the title. I know this is not, as much as I think this kid Jake Paul's a legit fighter, I think he should go to ranks by fighting ranked opponents. See how he does there. He fought one guy. I don't even think Tommy Fury was ranked. He might have been, but he's a known
good boxer.
Fighter.
Tommy
well,
his, a great fought,
his brother, his older brother's one of the better heavyweights to ever live, Tyson Fury. And you ever see his father, John Fury?
I don't know about
him. Oh, my God.
When did he box? What
he was a bare knuckle fighter and all. Wow. From he's from Ireland and maybe a rough guy. Went to prison for 10 years. Huge guy. You got to see some of the videos of him. He's a nut, too. And I wouldn't want to fuck with that dude right now, man.
Well, one thing about Tyson, when it comes to training, he goes into it. And if he's got the right mindset.
What we see. Yes. You know, training is more about what you don't see. Getting up at 6 in the morning and hitting the road. Getting your wind done. How long is Tyson's camp going to be? Most camps are 3 months at minimum. You know, you start getting really in shape. Now,
he's got a big disadvantage that the fight goes a long period of time. It's a true fight, right, where they're actually doing regular rounds.
I think it's like 6 rounds is it going to be?
I mean, he's going to get winded. It's inevitable. I mean, everything takes longer to recover and probably longer.
I get winded when I tie my shoes.
Yeah. Everyone's going to wonder if it's a legit fight. That's the biggest thing. What are we doing this for entertainment? Or are we doing it to really watch a true boxing match? And
well,
listen, I love watching Tyson fight. I always have, and I'd sign into anything he did because he was such a unique person. Small guy fighting big guys and just a
smaller
power
than ever,
punch,
most
you know,
people.
Power punch. But the aspect of him, he had a little crazy side. Does he still have that? Like you
little.
Mentioned, I don't know. You know, is that still in him? Does he still have that? It's always fun to watch. But at 57, like you said, is it really legit? Are you really going to say Jake is a great boxer because he beat Tyson? I don't know. And how much did Tyson, people are going to question everything depending on what happens. Oh, Tyson didn't do this or, you know, he didn't really put everything forward. They had crazy rules. He brought in his own judge, whatever it is. And the fight is really, the longer it goes, the more you get paid. That's where people start questioning this type of sport. It's like, you get paid what you get paid. I don't care if it's 1 round or 10 rounds.
Yeah, well, that's why when they keep saying exhibition, I'm wondering if that's just a loophole they use to get around sanctioning bodies, because a lot of sanctioning bodies who actually sanction a fight won't sanction this fight because of his age, because they worry about people's health. Sure. Listen, boxing is so bad for you, way worse than MMA, because it's the constant pounding, mm-hmm. even in sparring matches, yep. when your brain keeps going like this, getting right. jabbed. Your brain is inside its goop, but it keeps getting hit. Mm-hmm. So that's why most boxers are, you know, pretty much gone. And it's a shame to see, but it's a sport that, you know, a few of them have gone good. But now I'm hearing about Oscar De La Hoya wanting to come out and fight somebody. And he's near 50 or whatever. Yeah. I don't know if there should be an age limit, or is that being like, if you want to call it prejudice or something against
them. Do you create like the PGA does, a senior tour? Where they have, you
but
know,
then I,
it's still not healthy for your body.
Senior tour and they get these guys brain dead.
Well, that's
in
the
one
problem.
Fight.
I mean, at the end of the day, all that beating to your brain is not good for anyone. I mean, whether you're 18 or you're 50, and when you're 50, it's even harder on you because the recovery time and everything else is just going to be worse.
You know, that is really true. I actually notice sometimes, I forget a little bit certain now. I mean, really do, and it's got me a little bit thinking, what the hell, you know, when I'm talking to you about something, then I would think something, and then I forgot what I was talking about. I mean, it sometimes you think, what, am I going crazy? Or is it just all the head pound that I took?
You've been called crazy your whole life. I mean,
yeah,
it's nothing to you.
Good point. Good point. But, you know, when I was young, we used to go to all the fights. We had to go to them. They didn't have cable. They didn't have any of this. Mark, you remember we used to go? I went to the Meadowlands. I went to Madison Square Garden. We used to go all over
the
watch.
You were in the Mecca, though, where the fights were. Madison Square Garden back in the day was it. That was it.
That's where they had everything.
That was it.
I actually had what they call the Felt Forum underneath the Madison Square Garden.
Now it's Vegas and other areas, overseas even.
Yeah, Abu Dhabi now.
It's an international sport now. It's
the whole world, everything is international, really, though. Now, because of computers and everything else, you know that you work in the defense industry. And what is the defense? I mean, it's worldwide. I mean, you could be an American company, but you probably sell to worldwide companies.
Of course. International business, depending on what you're doing, is growing and growing because it's a market. You're there to make money, right? Some do specifically for U.S. and others start to branch out. So,
okay, would you go to this fight?
I would love to go to the fight. Why? Because the entertainment value of it. And imagine all these fights, even the UFC fights, the amount of celebrities there, it's an experience.
The energy.
It's an experience, right?
I was going to think of going to this one, but I can't because we got other trips to New York planned. And
I'll go for you. Don't worry about it. I'll wear your diamond shirt.
Yeah. Give me the ticket. Do you know what tickets are starting at? Starting at $448.
That's standing in the back, probably behind the pillar.
They said there's 3,100 something tickets available. Now, you know,
that's not a lot of tickets.
No, what I'm saying, but it's in Dallas Stadium that holds 70,000.
Think about
an
arena that far away. Do you really see much the further you get back?
See, but you know, they have the big screens. I don't know. Listen, big arena. The best concert I've ever saw, not the best artist, because I saw a lot of different ones, was Roy Orbison.
Wow.
Roy Orbison in a bar in Manhattan in about 86.
That's wild.
And
amazing.
You want to talk about...
That's my mom's favorite singer. So
Roy Orbison?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I used to hear songs come on. But I was literally on a balcony in a bar area, like from... It was so small. And I go, man, there's nothing that could beat that venue. Because you're seeing him. You can see the wrinkles on his face.
I think music, though, you can get away being further back because you still hear it and you're there live. It's nothing like being closer. But for boxing and those action sports...
You're a big concert guy.
You want to see... I love music. I love live music, whether it's at a local venue or in one of the big ones. I love seeing musicians. And there's so many that are legends that you only have so much time. We've seen it, right? They can be young and go, like a Jim Morrison, or they can be...
Paul Simon, how long is he going to last? I saw him. They did a
Jim
tribute
Buffett
to him
just
last
went,
year.
I mean, you start looking at like people like Elton John, Billy Joel, that are just legends and great writers, great musicians, and you don't have a lot of opportunity.
No.
And they're still very, very good in concert. Amazing.
Right? They're better than you would think, but I've seen some. I saw the Steve Miller Band. They were pretty good. I saw a couple others lately. I'm actually going to Red Rocks this year to see, what's his, Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Oh, that'd be great.
They played a banjo in Red Rocks. You've been to Red Rocks, right?
I have not.
You, I mean, you're all used to be. You were in Arizona. It's not that far.
That's in Colorado.
I know, but it's not that far.
It'd be great to go. I'd love to see that. I went to Stevie Nicks. She was fantastic.
Oh, she's ice.
We went to Van Halen, Sammy Hagar. We saw him recently. I love
it. Oh, yeah, we went. Yeah, I didn't last because I got messed up.
Well, it was a crazy night, but, you know, we had a great time. And I love watching musicians, hearing them. And many of them are still fantastic, even at their older age.
I saw the Beach Boys, and who was he? Mike Love, 80 years old, and still rocking. And you think how they're remembering all those songs, you know.
Even George Thorogood opened up for Sammy.
Oh, he did, yeah.
I mean, that was unbelievable.
I thought he was better than the...
I didn't know how he was holding the guitar, but when he started singing and playing, it was like it just muscle memory, and he was fantastic.
They even say, who is it? Tony Bennett. Didn't he just die? I think Tony Bennett died.
Yeah.
But they said he was losing it. I mean, totally losing it. But when he got the microphone.
In front of a microphone. Like,
and performing, everything comes back, they say. They say that's a lot with a lot of artists like that. It's so deep ingrained in them, they can actually do that. That, to me, blows me.
He's like one of the last of the Rat. Was he Rat Pack? Was he
No. The Rat Pack was Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin,
Frank Sinatra,
and what's his name? Not Lawrence. See, there's my brain. Oh, my God.
I thought he must have just hung out with them then.
No. Oh, he did. Not much. He was a little younger than him.
Okay.
What was that? Look up the Rat Pack, Nick. My God. Who's the Rat Pack, Mark? Sammy Davis, Demo. Who's the last one? Joey Bishop. Joey Bishop. See if I'm right. Joey Bishop was the Rat Pack.
I didn't even know that. That's
Peter Lawford.
That's a great
Joey Bishop.
Trivia.
Frank Sinatra, Joey Bishop, Sam Davis, and Angie Dickinson.
Oh, she was part of it, but Dean Martin in there.
Angie Dickinson, wow.
No, Dean Martin. Oh, Dean Martin.
Yeah.
Those are the top three that everyone knows about. Sammy Davis.
Yeah, then Joey Bishop, and you're right, Peter Lawford, and I know Angie Dickinson.
What a
she
great
was, that means she was getting plowed by all of them. Oh, you know, can you imagine the orgies they had there back in the day? Not that I look like it.
I'm not even going to go there.
Ah, come on, Paul. Let's keep on that because I want to talk about another thing. I talked about this last week with my brother. My brother is so funny. He gets so many comments about, when's he coming back? Because he's crazy. My brother, you know, he's good crazy. You know, I love my brother. But he's kind of funny. So he'll say, we started talking about the economy, the war, what's going on. What do you think? And this is a good one. What do you think about Hamas and Israel right now?
You know, that's a tough one. I think Israel really created something in that territory with what they originally had. When you looked at it, what they started with was the desert. So now...
No, Israel was 1948.
I'm saying when they started, there wasn't much there. And they built an amazing economy. They built an amazing country with what they've done. And I think, I don't know, there's a religious background there. If you look at
it's all
the history
them.
That...
The Wailing Wall, Christians, Jews,
and they're all fighting for that territory or whatever. But at the end of the day... We're in a modern society now, right? And the problem is people can't convert to that because they're indoctrinated as kids, you know, into that and that belief and trying to, when you're hanging out with your parents or whoever it is and they're just teaching you certain things, they're not letting them make their own decisions.
See,
there should be a way for everyone to be able to live together and somehow coexist, right, in that area. But I think there's a lot of other political and religious aspects that will keep that from ever happening. Think about it. That place has been in conflict since back in biblical times.
Well, of course, there are different sects of Muslims, like the Shiite and
but
the
it's
Sunni.
All related, and it's always about typically religion. Now it could be fighting about territories. But
Paul, religion has caused more death. King David, forget it. Christians, everybody killed. The Bible has more death in it than people ever know.
Of course, the Old Testament is all about,
killing
wars
people. But... the big complaints right now is that Israel is going into Palestine, where Hamas is, and they will blow up a building if there's a key target there and kill innocent. They said something like 16,000 innocent people have been killed. What do you think of that?
I feel like they've warned them, and they didn't just start it.
That's my argument.
It was a reaction. That the original attack on Israel is what caused this.
And I agree. See, my thing is, all these people from the United States, we don't want to give them money now because of, oh, they're doing things with the bombs. Wait a minute. The United States in 1945 dropped two atomic bombs, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, killed millions and millions of people, if you want to go over the years, millions. And why'd we do it? To stop further deaths of Americans if we kept going. We would have won the war. We were already going into Europe. We were everywhere. But we said, let's stop this war. We killed all these people. Now we're telling a country, don't do that. If I was Israel and they did that to me, I'd wipe you off the map. Yeah. Now, people are saying, it's not. I feel bad for the innocent people. But what do? Do you let some guy keep throwing bombs and then running into the neighborhood and hiding in a school or church? And now we can't touch him?
Right.
I don't know.
They have to have the ability to protect themselves. And listen, no one wants to kill civilians.
Innocent people. Nobody wants to kill innocent
people. But at the end of the day, it's going to happen. Because what happens is some of these groups, these terrorist groups, will use people as shields. And that's just a known fact. They're going to use that because they know if I use that, and then I can all of a sudden turn around that they bombed a hospital. But that's my base. And
they
that's
have
where I'm
tunnels. Storing. You've seen all that.
Okay, then tell people up front we're going to do it, and we're going to go in there and take care of it. Get those civilians out.
But they tried. They warned of one area. They say to Israel, you got 3 days. We're coming. If you're in this area, you got 3 days because we're going to take out. People say, well, we can't go anywhere. We can't. Well, you know, I don't know. If it's my, listen, I'm, you want me to be the president. Because if I was the president, I would say, first of all, listen, you want to bomb one of my assets or my country, I will wipe out your country. We ain't talking, I'm grandpa's going to be incinerated. So is grandma and babies. I would take up, if a country did some, wipe them off the map. Let's see how quick it goes. Nobody's going to mess with us then. Now, we did that, and we became the big dogs on the block. Let's face it. After World War II, the United States is when they really became a superpower. Because we had the atomic bomb. Nobody would mess with the United States. And it worked. Diplomacy helps. Of course you need it, but you got that big stick to have the... Would you listen to Canada? What are you going to do to me, Canada? You know, snub me? Say, hey, I'll wipe Canada right off the map. I mean, when you think about it, all these countries, they have protection. They have... what? Did you know, like, we don't mess with a country with a nuclear bomb because we don't want a nuclear bomb to be detonated. Why is Kim Jong-un around? Because he's probably got nuclear bombs now. He's stupid enough they still can't figure out how to take a rocket to America. But my point is, you ain't going there. You don't want a nuclear bomb to be shot at your ally, which is South Korea, so they can get there. So the reason I'm saying that is, at what point is Israel or the people of Pakistan? Now, I don't
Palestine,
like this.
Palestine.
I don't like this Shabib, what's her name? The Khalib Shereed, the congresswoman. She's telling, what would you do? How would you like to be in your house in it, or America? If Canada started shooting Scud missiles or whatever they are over to America and hitting whatever and they wipe out, hit them, what would we do to Canada? We ain't going strategically. We can wipe them right off the map.
I mean, Israel is having legit elections, right? Not now.
He's been in and out.
In and out of power. They've had other leaders.
Yeah,
right. So at the end of the day, the people of Israel, that's what they want, and they're protecting. If he's doing it in their best interest, then fine.
Well, here's where I
as the U.S. we can't be telling other countries and the people how they want to
defend themselves,
right?
But we are, because we're giving them arms, and now
we have that control. That's the one control.
But
we
that's
do have.
Wrong. How could, if he's your friend? It's like you. It's like me saying, Paul, you're my friend, ally, good friend. You're having a fight with your neighbor. I'll help you, Paul. I'll give you the money, but you can't hit him with your right hand.
Well, then we have to make that deal. Am I willing to give up certain things for that?
My point is, how do we tell? No, you're my friend. I'm going to give you whatever it takes for you to... I have to trust you as an ally to do the right thing.
That's a huge negotiation fact between us, though, because you're giving a lot of power to me, and all of a sudden I can make you look bad and turn around and do something different.
Why look bad? Every country that gives you something, now they look bad? Now I'm putting my politics onto your... Listen, if you're my friend, if you're my ally, whatever you need.
But if you're doing it for their independence and their self-protection, I think that's different. Right. If you're trying to allow, now, if they're using it as an aggressive technique, then you got to reconsider how, what you're giving to me as your friend, right? So,
well, they I'm are. Doing it to they protect are. Myself. Technically, they're going into.
That's like Dave's argument from last podcast. It's the same thing.
That what?
The same conversation.
No,
Dave was on that side, and you were on this side.
And my point with Dave was, he says, well, innocent people are dying. Well, innocent people die in everything we do.
I agree with that.
Everything we do. You could say we're going to, they don't have bombs that you can drop and it's only going to kill the bad people. When you have war, that's collateral damage. They know it. And everything. Again, collateral damage was World War II. We calculated if we drop this bomb, we're going to wipe out whatever, but we're going to save maybe 100,000 Americans from going over there doing the ground war.
We so ruined all their
our
sports.
Leaders said, it's worth it. We're going to wipe out 1 million, but we're going to save 100,000. So, and there's still effects to this day.
Is there like gambling on this? Like betting? Can you like bet on any of this?
I wouldn't be shocked if Vegas has something on
you know, because no, you can bet on almost anything. On a touchy That'd be line a crazy. Dude. Well,
probably offshore betting does stuff like
that. That like goes into the NCAA, right?
We're not doing it. I'm not going to make a. I just think once you give a country rules how they have to defend themselves, that's like us telling Ukraine, we'll give you arms, but you can't do this. That's putting people in handcuffs.
So now there's two people on that side, one on yours.
They're getting more than what they had before. So if they really need something, they might say, fine, take what you have. You have
it's like a loan. You had to have it, so you have to follow by the rules. It's just like a loan, dude.
No, see,
I think about this as a shark or
Paul. If I borrow your car, can I do anything I want with your car?
When you loan people money, did you tell them what they could do with it when you were back in the But when they came back or did something wrong, would you come back and say, "What the hell are you doing?" or anything?
No, you charge them interest.
There you go. So that's the political thing. You come back and you beat them up somehow. We're not going to give you this money, or we're not going to do this agreement anymore. I mean, it's the same thing in business or politics. It all comes down to negotiation. You're giving something up, and if you somehow change our negotiation or do something wrong when we originally agreed, I'm going to do something different on these other ones because now I can't trust you, or why would I give you this?
I get what you're saying, but here's where I get the problem is with America. We're the ones who are the biggest maker of arms, supply, you know, we make bombs, we buy, we make the most ordnance of any country. You know, like, so now we're selling or doing whatever we want to Israel right now. If we tell Israel how to run it, would another country, who's supposedly an ally, come to us and say, why should I go? Let me buy the bombs from wherever they're going to buy them now, somebody else. Once we're putting our nose into a place because of our politics. See, listen, there's a Muslim country. If you sell bomb, you know, let's say Jordan, an ally or whoever is a Muslim country, are we to tell Jordan, hey, listen, you're Muslim. You can't do something because you're religion, because we're giving you these arms. Otherwise, you know, it's part of our beliefs or whatever. We have to, if I support Mark, or if I support Nick or you, whatever you need to take it, you got it. Now, if you make me look, how bad, hey, listen, I gave it to them, I trusted them, and they did something stupid. I wouldn't give them it again, right? After I gave them the first time. But to give it with tags on it, say, you know, we don't like that you're bombing this area. We don't know the intelligence they know, the exact
they
intelligence.
They could get a new leader in 5
they
years
go
and
find,
they have the same things you gave them before. Yeah. And now, is that your fault?
If they don't like the rules, they can go find another country.
So, I mean, you do it in trust. You do it because you think they're there for the right purpose. But at the end of the day, that's what you gave them because you're trying to support that effort. If they never use it and they're keeping it, and a new dictator or whoever comes in and changes the whole philosophy, okay, what are you going to do about it?
I'm just not a guy that gives support to a friend or an ally, call it what it is, with stipulations. Because then that's not giving, that now it's just a business deal. Now, if you are my friend and I'm going to help you, I'm going
to
help you. Now, if I say I can't put my people that lie.
Because of this reason, and that's why you gave it to him. So in a way, it was a stipulation to begin with, because you said, I need it for this. Right? He's not coming and say, just give me this. You'd be like, well, why would I give you that? He's coming to the table and say, I need help. This is what I'm going through. You're like, I'm going to help you in anything you need. Here you go. And you trust him, believe in him. That's why you did it. So there was a stipulation because of the way he came to the table and said, I need help going through this. And you're like, okay. If he came to the table in a whole different circumstance, you might be like,
yeah, if I
there's other ways to handle this.
If I came for a loan for this house and got it for this house, I can't go buy that house.
I got, but that's because it's a secured loan.
Well, it's a secured loan.
No, you get a loan for cash with a signature loan.
I know, Larry, but giving you a tank is a secured loan. You need a tank.
No.
Right?
Let me ask you a question. Russia's got a lot of arms. Obviously, they're in this race. Who's giving Russia the arms?
I don't know.
Are they supplying themselves? All of them? Everything?
They have enough? And they also work with other countries. There's coalitions between a lot of countries where they...
That's what I'm saying. And once anybody starts putting stuff... I'm sure you're right to the degree. But United States, and when I see Biden go up there, who can't even understand can't spell his name, and he's telling Russia to... Or not Russia, he's telling Israel, listen, we're not going to give you the arms anymore. Why? Because you're totally using them the wrong way. And then I say to him, wait a minute, Mr. Biden, Mr. President, I know that guy who's in that hospital killed 15,000 of our people. I will kill 150 people so he don't kill another 1,500. We did that with Sammy the Bull, Gravano, and John Gotti.
This is the same podcast we just recorded.
Well, it's not.
The same.
No, we are going to go to NCAA. We're going to do that. But I just wanted
to
know.
That's a hard switch. You know that?
Yeah.
That's a hard switch.
Oh, I came. It was pretty good when I just came in here 5 minutes ago. It was going right in there.
Listen, I think every country that is independent and has voted for their own leader has the right to defend themselves, period.
In any way they want.
Why not? And whatever they have in their possession to defend themselves, if they're a sovereign nation, they should have the right to defend themselves.
But what about the world like laws for war?
They do have
laws. Yeah, like gas and stuff.
If they're
a part of
it, if they're not, they still have the right to defend themselves.
It's called the Geneva Convention laws.
So they can go drop gas on anyone and no one's going to say anything about it?
See, no. In international, there is laws on what you can use. Just like taking care of prisoners of war.
I don't believe in that type of punishment to people. But listen, if that's how they're defending themselves, I believe in them defending themselves. If they're using inappropriate methods, if that's the only method they have, would use whatever
but
the hell
when you,
I'm with you.
If you're defending your family,
as I say, when do you get to choose when it's inappropriate?
If you're defending your family and that's all you have to defend yourself, even though I'm going to do everything in my power to defend my family. Now, if you're doing it for power or to take over another country, that's wrong. If you're doing it to torture people, that's wrong. But if that's all I had in my possession to help my family and I'm getting attacked, I would use whatever's at my disposal.
I agree.
You know, and is there better methods? Yes, probably. But if that's all that country has, right or wrong, to defend themselves on their own land, not attacking people on another one, right? You're protecting your sovereign. I can understand why they're doing that stuff.
I can understand a country like Pakistan.
I'm not saying
they're an ally.
I'm just saying I can understand why they'd use it. That's all they have at their disposal. Mm-hmm. Now, if they're doing it to torture other people in other areas, you don't need to be doing that. You're not getting attacked. That's wrong. Right? To go to another country and torture people, that's not right.
But that's fine line, too, because people will say, wait a minute, we're stopping the guys doing it. And that's why. Like, if I'm Pakistan and I have a nuclear weapon, which they do, and I'm attacked by somebody, and I drop that nuclear weapon right on them. Only way, like you agree, I can't deny it because that's the only way they could have won. Other than that, they're going to wipe us out and we're going to sit here with this nuke. Why did I buy it? I bought this nuclear weapon so you don't mess with me.
No, but did you have other means to defend yourself and you went right to the max?
No.
Try diplomacy?
Let me ask you a question. If a country like Pakistan gets attacked by, well, listen, we do it with North Korea. North Korea can't beat us on a war. They have tanks that are 30 years old. So North Korea fights it. If we attack North Korea and they take a nuclear bomb and hit Washington with it, it's not wrong.
It's something they could do.
What I'm getting at, I agreed with you.
But they're attacking for no reason. We didn't attack them.
I said if they were attacked. Like Israel. Israel was
attacked.
Well,
why would they bomb us? They should go out.
I'm talking about, I was putting that thing of a big dog you know is going to kick your ass with conventional weapons.
It's not usually that way, though. When you look at these Middle East wars, it's usually someone else does the attacking, like a small group. And the sad thing is, all these Palestinians that aren't a part of that small group are getting grouped now because of these terrorists or whoever did it. And now Israel has to go in and find a way to get rid of these small groups that are doing this terrorism, or whatever you want to call it, attacking on their country. How else are they going to do it?
But I was going to ask you, how do you look at it? What do you do then if
you can flip the sides and I wouldn't care. It's the same thing. If the other country, Israel, is attacking them for whatever reason, and it was a small organization that's not a part of the government, not something that's believing, I would support the other people to protect themselves. You know what I mean? But that's not what's happening. When you watch it, it's always a reaction from an attack.
No, listen, I'm all for defending yourself whatever way you can. And I'm also for whoever it is. That's why I'm for Israel saying, listen, you attack us, and now I got to wipe
it's
your country
wars.
Out.
Look at it. It's turf wars. It's no different than what happened back in the day when you're, you know, working with the crews and people you're working with. Turf wars happen all the time. And it ends up being a game back and forth. And sometimes you can collaborate and they talk at the top and it's done. Other times it's not. And it gets dirtier. And
now I'm going to give you a hard transition. I think there's going to be another war. I think there's going to be a war between North Carolina and Connecticut. In the NCAA. NCAA is here, guys. And I know that's a tough transition. Listen, my view will be, if you attack me, I'm using any means I can to defend myself. And let me explain that in one way. Prison. In prison, I hit a man with a mop ringer metal and crushed his face. I also messed up a black dude. Big dude. He was about 250, 260. And he went out to fight. Well, I beat him when he was in handcuffs. Because there's no such thing as a fair fight, in my opinion.
Well, he kicked your ass if he wasn't...
Oh, he was a big, probably. I mean, I would have fought him, but he was a big dude. And I knew how to slip handcuffs, so I got out of the handcuffs, and I beat him.
Wait, you were both in handcuffs, and then you fought him?
Well, no, we got out to the yard. We're in the hole, and he's what they call a door warrior. Banging on the door, screaming. I said, yeah, shut up. You punk, let's go on the yard. Let's get in the yard. Well, they take you out in the yard. It's only a 20 by 10-foot cage. But you all have to go out in handcuffs. Well, I knew how to slip. And if anybody wants to learn how to slip handcuffs, just look on my videos. I did a whole video on how to... You did it with me.
I was part of you, yeah.
That Paul was actually part of it.
That was when you were on the flight. You're telling me and you
yeah.
on both, down by your feet.
But I remember I showed everybody how to get out of handcuffs. You could do that. It's not hard. So... What I did was I knew how to get at him, so they put us all in a cage. They usually put five guys in this cage. So they'll go down a tier, and he was close enough that I knew he'd be in my cage. So I went in there, and I stayed like I had my hands behind my back after they put, because they put everybody in the cage, and then they take you back, and they call you, and they open up the cuffs and everything. Well, I already slipped my cuffs on hands, but he comes into the cage. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him. They let him in the cage. They locked the cage. Went like that, and I went after, and he's trying to run around. Mm. I could beat him half to death, and every time I hit him, the other handcuff goes over, kept hooking his face and hooking blood, and they're screaming, Lord, Lord. They'll never come in. The guards will never come in unless
Why
they
is
have
that?
Numbers.
Why?
Because they ain't coming in to fight with us, too.
They
kill him.
Do like spray or anything?
They don't do anything until they got numbers, unless it's out in the yard and they got the tower and they shoot down. But you're in, Now, they'll come in.
What are they shooting down?
I got so tired.
Gas?
No, they shoot you.
Like rubber bullets?
No, a bullet.
Oh, my God.
They have rubber bullets, but trust me, they shoot you to kill you. Mm. I've been on the yard, man. You hear, everybody has to lay down flat with your hands out. And when you hear that thing go off and those guards come out, they want to kill somebody. They'll shoot us a rubber bullet. Boy, I see people. I never seen anybody die, but I know stories of guys who got shot from the tower.
For attacking another prisoner.
Oh, with a weapon? If you have the guards have the right to use deadly force to defend themselves, a guard, or any other inmate from getting killed.
That's if you're attacking them after you did what you did. But if they're just there attacking another prisoner, it seems a little aggressive to shoot them.
It depends. If they have a clear shot and they say get down on that ground.
Then you don't do it.
You better get down on that ground. You will die.
Wow.
You will die. Attica, everywhere, you will die. Now, what I was getting at is there's no fair fight. And I beat that guy. I got tired before they got there. I mean, I kept going, but I was literally tired. I was hitting him so much.
They put you Blood right back everywhere. In the hole afterwards? Huh? They put you right back in the hole?
Oh, I was in the hole. I didn't give a shit.
Oh.
What the hell are you going to do to me? They did take more good time. They did give me more infractions. So I lost 56 days of good time. That's without going to a trial already. Because to take good time... There's very cautionary laws. The law states that you have to have what they call due process to lose freedom. Well, good time is technically freedom because it's mandated by Congress. But then there's another part of the law that says they could take up to so many days a year that you're a good time that it's not over your sentence. So everybody in the BOP gets 28 days a year. That's it. Off. That's the feds. So you'll lose that. I lost a lot of that. So anyway, I lost 2 years of that. Good time. Because I beat him and they didn't take me to trial. They usually won't take you to trial unless you kill him. Or, yeah, pretty much, or you attack a staff member, which I did. I almost got that one, too. I lost a good time on that one, too.
So I'm not one of those model inmates,
Mark. Mark is just laughing. Are you want a beer, Mark? Yeah.
Are you worried after doing something? I'm okay. Are you worried after something like that, that there's going to be repercussions for what you did with his friends or anything like that? Or?
I mean, no. When you mess with, when you do something, you do it. Listen, your people will defend you, and their people will defend them no matter what. Everybody knows in the joint that things happen for reasons. I mean, I watched the guy go crazy, take two knives, strap it to his hands, and try to stab everybody. He went crazy.
So what did he do to you that you had to do this?
This guy?
Yeah.
Because he was a door warrior.
What's that mean?
He kept banging and screaming on the doors and bothering.
Making it miserable for you.
Making it miserable for everybody on the tier.
So that's like an underground rule that you just...
Well, you know, people do that. But when it gets to the point where it's we call them door warriors because they're tough guys behind the door. Mm. I mean, the guy was, I don't know, and I didn't know if I could beat him or not. But he was probably a legit, because he's a big guy. But boy, did I beat him back.
Well, he's in federal prison for a reason. He did something.
Everybody in my prison were bad anyway. That's why I love people say, oh, you live in a bad... No, the bad neighborhood I lived in, they were all mob bosses, hitmen, drug kingpins, armed robbers. Everybody in my prison had a lot of time. We had 880 guys with life. Mostly murderers, but life sentence guys. Never getting out, ever, ever. And it's called letters. And once you have letters, you think you care? I love people say, oh, that guy's screwing that guy. So? Have fun. He's got life. Life. This is it. You'll never do anything again. You make the best life you can.
Was your scariest day in prison the first... I know we're supposed to talk about NCA, but now you got me interested. Nah. Was your scariest was your scariest day in prison the first day you went, or something else that happened in it? I mean, or switching between prison? What was the scariest thing?
Great question, man. Great question. My scariest time in prison ever was not going in, because I was in before. Not my scariest time, when I was in the hole, when I was getting beaten, and the door would open. See, in prison, in the hole, you have three, well, in the holes, most of them have tiers. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a tier, and there'll be 10 cells on this side, 10 cells on this side, on the tier. Mm-hmm. Well, not only is your, first, by the policies, you can never leave your cell without being handcuffed, ever, in the hole. They can never come on that tier. The tier door. Now, this is not only your door. The tier door is locked. And it's so when you heard the tier door open, okay, usually you know what's going on. Maybe this counselor's coming. Maybe it's inspection time. Maybe it's chow time. So it'll, you know, feed you through the doors. So you know what time it is. When you know, I knew when they were coming for me. So the most fear I've had was not even getting beaten. Not even when they opened the door, I was ready. I was already, my juices was flowing so hard, you didn't even feel the pain until later. Was the time they opened the door and they're walking down the tier towards me, knowing that they're coming to me and I might not live after that. Because it's, they don't care, and they have killed people, and I watched them take a man's leg and snap it, literally, in the cell next to him. Snap his leg. And if two legs were out, one was going this way when I saw it. And I heard it snap like a piece of wood. It was so clear to this day. So that fear from when they knew it is the most thought I've had for fear. Because usually when you're in fear or any kind of hype, it happens so quick you don't. People don't understand, why does a guy get shot and Steve keep fighting? Why do you guys? I got stabbed twice. Barely knew I got stabbed until the end, you know, afterwards. And then when your adrenaline slows down, it's like, oh, shit, man. I had that incident. Since I've been out, I got hit with a big thing. I got hit either by a deer or whatever. I was on a bike. I was all messed up in Fire Island. And I didn't know that until I was driving. After a Fox show I was on, everybody, I was in the hospital because they thought I had internal bleeding. in Maryland, and I didn't even know until I started really hurting. And I, the whole thing, unbelievable.
Because you didn't see it, it just blindsided.
When, because you were hyped up. I was hyped up getting on the show. I had to do things. You got to juice yourself up. When you're in a fight or in a yard or anything that happens, I've been in a lot of fights, your adrenaline is hitting so quick, hard. You don't.
So the isolation is scarier than being with other prisoners because you kind of feel like other people are watching. Is that part of it?
No, what do you mean? No, the
when you're in the hole, you're by yourself and no one else is there.
Well, sometimes
you would. But when you're in like the yard or something, you feel a little bit more secure because there's other people or friends around you watching. And
I don't know. You know, it depends on the prison. First of all, there was prisons that I told you, for all of my time, I never got up after 6 o'clock in the morning. Because when the door opened, I put my boots on or my sneakers on, ready to fight. I'm not going to be laying in bed like I'm dreamland and it's some guy that thinks that I looked at his dope and I know where I'm ready. He's looking to kill me. And he comes into my cell, he sees you sleeping, and he knows you sleep every day. You're in trouble. So you have to just understand it. When you can feel tension. If I walked into a prison and you're all there and you're all laughing, you all got flip-flops on and watching, I ain't worried about this place. If I'm walking around and I come to the joint and I just look casually and I see everybody in boots or sneakers, I see a couple guys with their shirts still on, and I see one guy maybe has a magazine. You'd put magazines in your stomach for body armor, so getting stabbed. Then I go, okay, I got to keep my eye open for this place. And then, you know, you always, I mean, it's to this day, I watch certain things. Sometimes I'm lacking. I know I went to Vegas with Nick, and he ended up seeing people following us around, trying to rob us. I missed it. But I saw them earlier. I said, look, I don't trust these motherfuckers. And it was right. But then Nick caught on. And he was watching them the whole time. Put it this way. I had some chemical help. So I was pretty whacked that day. So Nick will tell you about
the Vegas
that
air.
The who?
The Vegas air, they call it.
Well, you know, Vegas is a scum hole outside these casinos and stuff. I don't know.
Was pretty funny. Because you were like, I'm so good, so on my toes. I know I can feel tension. And then you were just not letting it go. And it was just a joke you kept, I can feel tension.
We saw the guard. Casino security was watching.
He's like, I can feel tension. And for 2 hours later, I was like, you keep saying this, and you haven't noticed that they've been following us for 2 hours. It was so funny.
When you walk out of the casino,
I'm on it all the time. I was like, really?
Hey, listen, tell them what happened, though, Nick. We walk out of the casino. I look like a bum. And I mean, you know, I look like I'm a mostly. And I literally look like a street person. We're going, and we're laughing at these guys. Nick goes, look at us. We ended up going near the fountain where all the dead bodies are. So they find dead bodies in there a lot. You know the Bellagio fountain in front of
I body. Don't know if that's true or if that, it's just an acid
I don't
fact.
Know about that
Maybe
either.
It's an acid
I think
fact.
It's just an acid
so
fact.
So what happened, Mark, was we're going and we walk out of the casino, Paul. And the first thing we see is a guy crying.
No,
he's
hear
having
him.
A withdrawal or something.
Yeah, we hear, help me.
Help me.
He just
help
needs
me.
To fix.
He's having some withdrawals. I go, everybody, we just walked by.
No, we see the beautiful stair set.
Right?
We saw the beautiful stairs, you know? And then at the top of the stairs, there's just a crackhead screaming for his next fix. I was like, this is awesome, dude. Well,
speaking of Vegas and getting on your NCAA, I have one other comment on what you think. So I don't know how much you know about the NCAA women's, but
none.
Caitlin Clark has been the biggest female.
Oh, that's the girl who beat the men's record.
Beat all-time record.
Did she actually, how many points did she score in one game?
She won that too, but she's the all-time scorer in college basketball. But
they say she's phenomenal.
She has sold out stadiums that have never been sold for women's basketball. So my question to you is, do you think that this year, an NCAA basketball, that will have similar ratings to the men's?
Not a chance.
I don't think so.
Not even close.
Okay.
Here's why. You could have all the NCAA you want. There's not enough men. I didn't know who she was. I mean, I knew of it because it was a major story one time. But that one game might do well or she's at, but no way can the tournament, because there's men go there for gambling. They go there and they go through the whole thing and they sit in the rooms, watch the games, gamble on the games. Are you going to gamble on a women's basketball game? Have you ever gambled on a women's basketball game?
Not women's basketball.
There you go.
One time did volleyball or something crazy just because I wanted
action.
Something to watch, make it worth watching, right, and have a little fun.
100%.
I will bet you this. I bet the games that she plays will have a higher watch than a good chunk of the NCAA men's games. Maybe not the final 16 or final 8 or 4, but I bet if you watch the games that she is playing against on these other teams, that they have a higher watch than some of these.
Here's where I'm only agree and disagree. Yes, if it's a game that's like the in the NCAA, there's 64 teams. On this Thursday, which is yesterday, whatever this is, this game, there's 32 matches because there's 64 games. Maybe some garbage school that nobody cares, 64, 63rd seed or whatever, how it works. Those two teams play. Nobody cares. It's on a Thursday. If she's on a Sunday where people, and it's hyped up, obviously, media. Mr. Beast gets more views than the Super Bowl. So now you could look at how you want to rate that. But do I think that put it this way. Final 16, she won't outbeat one final 16 game. One, because I think they're both on Saturdays and Sundays, because there's only eight games.
You can't base it on attendance, because at that point,
I didn't say attendance. I said,
but it's watching, viewability.
I said, exactly. More people are going to watch on the weekends. More people are going to watch maybe during the time. So if you're on a Thursday night game, 10 o'clock. Who's going to... Well, I'll be up, but how many people are really going to be up? So I think it has a lot to do. There's too many variables to say, now take the championship game for the women and the championship game for the men, blown out, no matter if she's there. And she's going to be there.
I agree with that.
She's going to be there.
Well, maybe. You never know.
If she's there.
You're one person on a team. I mean, you can one person can't just win a game. It takes a team to win. But... I just find it, the story is amazing. And what she's done for women's basketball and selling out stadiums that never sell out, even the men's, some of these men's
stadiums. I have not heard that she's selling out stadiums. Well,
she's selling out stadiums.
Yeah, they're probably little arenas. Women really play in a big arena?
Big Ten, the same place the men play. She's selling out. There's people waiting outside to get into these stadiums to watch
just to see her.
Because she is such a phenom. So that's why I wonder.
Can she dunk a basketball?
Probably not, but she can shoot from half court and make them.
No, I saw her. If you can't dunk the basketball,
come on. Some of the best players in pro couldn't maybe dunk, or they didn't even dunk back in the day. Think about it. They
everybody in the NBA can dunk.
But back in the day, they didn't really dunk. Dr. Yes, J was did. The first that kind of started
no,
doing
no, no, no. Spud Webb. You remember him?
Well,
he won the dunking contest. Yes,
but not everyone does.
5 foot six.
I mean, that's not their specialty. Curry is shooting threes. He's not winning.
100%. No, I'm not saying. I agree with you. My point is, maybe it's
a different kind of basketball.
It's because
it's a little.
Maybe different. I want to see the best of the best. It's like boxing. I like to watch boxing? Yes.
She is the best of the best in women. In women. Right now.
Maybe I'm not a male chauvinist. I don't think I am. But do I think women should be in the kitchen cooking? Yes. That's where they belong. It's not being a male chauvinist.
So you mentioned UConn and North Carolina. Right? Those are the guys you're rolling towards. You think UConn, North Carolina?
Well, I only know my brother was talking about it. And I'm going to watch it because I'm in a pool or two. I'm going to be in California too. I'm leaving Friday till Monday to LA to do a TV show. And to let everybody know, my true crime story comes out April 9th. It's going to be all over the place. It's going to be on VH1.
Nice.
What's that called? Paramount Network.
Paramount.
And it's a whole hour on me. It's a whole hour show on me. It's funny because I called someone yesterday and they go, Larry, I saw you on TV. You popped up. And who was it? Somebody said, I forget it. Wow, here's my brain. And I go, I forget what shows I do. Mm-hmm. That's, you do a lot of shows. I'm doing another show. That's why I'm going out there. But I have no idea a lot of times when the shows, a lot of air. This one they're telling us, and this one's going to have Missy in it.
Oh, wow.
My ex-wife. This is going to be fun.
So this
I got to see
story,
what she said.
This is basically the story of everything in the past.
My life, I guess.
Not
my brother,
recent, though,
David's more on it.
Oh, nice. Are they going to talk about his side of it?
I don't know. They asked David something. He said, I don't give a fuck. No, he didn't, but he does. I think we're actually pretty good. I don't know. Who do you like?
I think Houston.
You're a sports guy.
Yeah,
too.
Houston, I think, is a very good team. But I think the teams this year are so evenly matched and anyone can beat anyone. I wouldn't be shocked to see some of these teams that are big underdogs go pretty far.
Well, and, always that happens. Yes. Everyone wanted
to say the Purdue's and the Houston and the Illinois.
North
Carolina has a good team. I think some of these small schools could do some damage because I think there's a lot of parity now in college basketball that wasn't there in the last few years. I don't think there's a dominant team that I could say they are going to win it.
But, Paul, the last few times I was watching, I actually looked that up. A lot of these dominant teams do end up getting losing, whatever, they get too comfortable.
It's too easy to have a bad game.
Yeah, one game
you lose
done.
One guy gets injured. So it's to me, I like.
What school did you go
to? I like the underdogs. In a lot of these games, I'd say take the points, go for it, because honestly, I think there's a lot of parity. And these teams haven't seen a lot of these new schools that are from different conferences. When you're playing the same conference, you get used to these players, you get used to these teams and their basketball. This is a whole different game. And if a team gets hot, they can do some damage.
What do you, in that, you know, what school did you go to?
I went to Arizona State.
Are they any good?
Not this year in basketball. Arizona is always a good.
Arizona, but not Arizona State, right?
I like Iowa State being from Iowa. I'm rooting for them. I mean,
like the football?
Well, I'm a Hawkeye fan, but I'm going to root for in-state. And I'll give you one upset, I think. It's not even an upset because they're favored, I think. But it's a 10-7 seed, and it's Drake. Drake is from Iowa, and they're a very good team. And obviously the
so is that kind of like following, like that's the team you follow? See, college basketball, even when I was out following, it's so many that you don't know because they change over. You got to be like either an alumni or really love this conference for anybody to love it. Talking about odds, we got to jump on this before we're going to go. And we got about 10 minutes, but Trump is a favorite to win the election against Joe Biden. He is a favorite. Who do you think is going to win?
I think this is a tricky question because I think what happened last time we did an election, there was something big that came up and it changed the election drastically, and it was COVID.
The red button. Oh,
but I feel like Trump has a great opportunity to win it this year. I think a lot of people have understood Biden's politics, and they're probably seeing him and seeing some of the weaknesses in his character and the way he acts that I think Trump has a better chance now to win than he did when he first went up against him. So personally, my politics, I lean more towards that side, whether I like his character.
You're middle of the road, Paul. I know you.
And so I like the policy. Listen, I feel like we were better economically when he was president. That's what I'm saying. Economically, I felt like we were in a better place.
So you pick a Trump?
I think he has a great
I got to ask the room. Mark, I know you're out in the gallery. Mark's watching. Everybody's a great friend of mine. We hangs out. Mark, you are a middle-of-the-road guy and probably more, I don't know, Republican.
Lean towards Republican.
Lean, but that's it. You don't care. You're very socially liberal. You don't give a
shit. I voted for Obama.
There you go. You voted for Obama.
I thought had new ideas and whatnot. So, yes, I'm definitely fair. I want the best person for our country.
Oh, wow. So, and you think Trump is better? Ashley, who do you think is going to win the election?
I'm going to hold my nose and vote for Trump. I cannot vote for Biden.
Would you not vote?
No.
So you think you have to vote?
Yeah. Maybe even a third party candidate. I'm toying with the idea of a third party candidate.
Well, I had the Libertarian candidate.
No chance, but because I don't want to really vote for either. But if it's just between the two, I have to go with Trump.
There's no perfect candidate. You vote for the person that you believe out of those two are going to be the best for this country, right? And there's no perfect candidate. You might not like some aspects of either. But at the end of the day, where does you think the country going to be in a better place with that candidate? That's who you're voting for.
Well, they often talk about that as key issues. Is it the economy? Is it abortion? Is it, state rights? So there's different, usually what they call the border.
Supreme
they call
Court. It, and there's a lot of things
they call
that you
them
think
key,
about.
They call them key swing issues. Obviously, a lot of women, abortion's a big one. Obviously, the wall for border security. Nick, as a young guy, we're a little old. We have a good group here. We got Mark and I in our 60s. We got Paul in his 40s and Nick in his 20s. Who do you think? Who do you think is going to win, and who do you like?
Probably Trump's going to win. Trump's pretty entertaining to me. So.
Now, do you like Trump because he's entertaining?
I like Trump because he's entertaining. I don't have any other basis to put that on. So that's that. It's the only way. He's entertaining. That's why.
Was there any way you'd vote for Biden?
I'm not voting.
Oh, you're not voting anyway, no. So you don't care. No, he don't vote.
I'm a virgin. From a
vote. Yeah. You know what? Tell him why you don't vote. Tell him why you don't vote.
I don't vote. I don't think there's a point, especially in this presidential election.
Like, he doesn't think there's a point because he said guys like me ruined.
They have a whole nother system just in case we're all stupid enough.
What about the vote for, if you don't vote presidential? What about the votes for all the other, like?
I'm okay. I'll stay out of it.
Represent. You don't care about that either.
No.
Like local politicians.
I'm not old enough. I'm just a little baby, guys.
See, I believe in vote for the local politician, the one that you buy. So,
especially for local politics, are a big part. I mean, that affects you more than sometimes the national.
It totally does, and they can be gotten easier.
Yeah. You know? I don't know what you mean by that, but yeah, I mean they probably. Absolutely. Anyone can be, right?
Of course. Absolutely. Human nature is that way. All right, and so I'm going to pick in this election. This might be a shock. First of all, I'm going to be totally shocked if both parties just leave who's going to go. Whether Trump gets kicked off the thing because he gets convicted of something or not, or something so bad, or Biden has some medical issue that they say it's time for you to step aside. But I don't like that either because then Kamala Harris is...
They won't do that.
If that, I wouldn't vote. That I said bad things on the radio about her once, and they told me I better stop. I'm have Secret Service at the door. I can't stand that lady. That lady is a moron, a mega moron. I'm allowed to say that. That lady is a con artist, piece of garbage. Ready to put me down.
Listen, but, everyone has allowed their opinion on what they think and who they are. And I think it's a big risk for Biden because I think a lot of people are on your side. Now, whether that's the extreme you are or not, I think a lot of people are concerned with her taking over power.
I agree 100%.
So I don't think your idea is anywhere inaccurate or against what a lot of people feel.
I think that he's going to run. I fully believe he's...
I didn't say Biden's gonna maybe run he's going to come up with some
I feel like
medical.
I feel like they have an entire ego that's they're not going to do that.
Totally agree.
Because if they do that, then what everyone's been saying for the past 4 years is right, and they're not going to allow that to happen. About him
does
not being
care
able to
at
run.
82?
It's not him who's going to care. It's that whole party who's going to be like, now we look like idiots and fucking...
They'll win. If any Democrat runs against Trump besides Biden,
I
think they win.
But what I'm saying
is Joe Manchin,
they cannot
Virginia,
let go
West
of the idea that they've been defending him for 4 years saying he's okay to run. And they're not going to be like, oh, but no, now he's not.
I think you're thinking too much. People don't care.
He's not and wanted to get, you know, want to.
I think a lot of people
just
care.
Like, there's people that like Trump and don't like Trump on the Republican side. And I mean,
100%.
But at the end of the day, you're going to support the candidate that's going to help you get things passed and what you want. Because if you're a candidate for a state, you're trying to find ways to get things for your state. So you're going to scratch someone's back to try to get a little something back for yourself. That's just the way politics work.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that. I think the only thing about presidential politics is how internationally we're viewed. We're viewed terribly right now. I think he's weak. He doesn't have a border. And I'm not one of these guys who don't believe they should have immigrants. We should. We are an immigration state, a country. But we also should have some laws and let everybody come in and let taxpayer citizens pay for everybody and all the damage they do for roads and this and everything else. I can go on and on why we should watch who comes in. Not for the fentanyl. That's the biggest bullshit issue you hear. Oh, the drugs are coming through the... No, the drugs are coming through the DEA agent who brings it in. Who the hell are you kidding? Or the guy they got, or the tunnel they got, or the plane they got. There's not enough fentanyl coming through some illegal immigrant to make a damage
it's like
in this country.
None of them have ever heard of private planes.
Yeah, I mean, they can just fly. Such bullshit. We all know. If anybody's smart out there, any candidate says, well, we got to stop the illegal fentanyl from coming in here. If you think drugs are stopping because you're stopping some guys walking toward the Rio Grande, you're crazy. Because it's not. It's coming in multiple. No. We've proved that with Iran-Contra affair when the government was involved in it. But besides that, we do need a border to regulate everything else that's coming. We just don't have the resources, the infrastructure, everything else. But we need immigrants. Otherwise, who's picking the tomatoes? Who's picking the fruits? We need this labor. Listen, I got my RV washed. Six Mexicans jumped out with wet spray washers. And we had a line that was so long, took me an hour. I said, open the border. We need more guys in here cleaning the trucks. But I mean what I'm saying, Nick, you understand, is that it listen, I am not a Trump fan, but Trump's policies I'm a Trump fan. And Trump's the border, the money that, although he raised, listen, down deep, he spent more than most others. He did more, most. He gave more rich. But, you know, there's, I'm not going to even argue about that little stuff. The stuff that I cared about was gas prices. Tell me any candidate stops this gas. Oh, we don't want to drill. Yes, drill, baby, drill. Because it's all bullshit anyway. We got enough oil in Alaska to make our gas prices $2 a gallon. I got an RV out there. It's expensive to fill that thing.
No, inflation, just in general, the numbers don't lie.
It's look at the food prices. Yeah, it's crazy. You have young kids. I'll bet your food bill every time you go to the store is crazy.
Yep. It gets expensive. Every day, it's more and more. And, you know, that's.
At what point is, come on. Now, those are probably, we are an international economy now. There's none of this, oh, let's just be us. That's another moron statement. Oh, we'll do it all. No, we won't. We need China's cheap shit.
Or so, whatever, I mean, they trade is an important part of every international absolutely. Business. So,
and I like what Trump does about that. Hey, you want a tariff? You want to build the cars in Mexico? Yeah. Build your plant. It's going to cost you 100% tariff to come in here. Yeah. Other than every big company's going to open up a plant everywhere else just to have cheap labor.
Right.
So we shouldn't let that happen. Countries do it to us. I know. I get stuff from China, you know? So I understand that. If you look at anything, people got to understand the deeper picture. But prediction, who's going to win before we go?
I already
who's
did
it?
This.
It's I want to hear it.
Yeah, Trump.
Nick wants Trump. Mark?
Trump.
I'm going Trump.
I'm going with the Libertarian candidate. No, I'm not. I'm going to say this with a rough thing. I'm going to go with Trump. And I am.
It's just who you think's gonna win, right?
Oh, yeah. Who I want to? Okay, I think Trump right now, unless, and I have to emphasize it, unless there's something that comes into.
Don't
this
do
thing.
The lawyer. Who do you got, no, dude? Come
based on.
On
what we know now, exactly. This is what we're doing.
It's just so old. It's a yes or a no.
Never heard of a yes or no.
Come on, bro.
This is a courtroom.
It's a Trump,
Your Honor,
or it's a Biden.
Based on what you know, we don't want to have. Who are you going with as a winner? If nothing else changes, who would you go with?
Trump.
There you go. That's it.
With that note, everybody, see us next time. I got a good interview coming with Benz. He's going to come back.
Don't
we're
going to
be talking
it.
About a bunch of stuff from Israeli Hamas and all that. He's from there. He actually lives there, and he's his sister was in the military there. So we're going to have a good show. Everybody else, have a great day. Please stay safe. See you next time.